let's talk about something that God's dealing with me on, because as you have heard me say many times, the sermon is for me, and then I'm just going to share it with you all. So this has been something that God's been working on my heart with, and I hope that it's a blessing for you guys. What he was talking to me is that we've got to walk in this hour in understanding the spirits that are around us, the atmosphere, and the atmosphere that we're supposed to create. Again, you know, you've heard Pastor Dan say it, we're not to be just a thermometer gauging the area. Is it hot? Is it cold? But a thermostat to crank it up for Jesus. Because if we have the power of the Holy Ghost within us, our personal world should be hot, right? I know we have, right now, I have felt so discouraged. So here's my confession of my flaws. Anyone else with me lately has felt like such a year or two or even more of just such heaviness and discouragement and weightiness. And I kind of looked up some statistics since COVID hit, and depression and discouragement and anxiety is on the rise, no surprise, especially within the young people and young adults, it says. Unfortunately, we have some of our youth team that had a couple of young girls they knew that actually tried to take their life just a few weeks ago, and praise God they didn't succeed. But the enemy has come out with great wrath, I believe, seeking who he may devour, knowing he has a short time. And I just make me feel better. Anyone else been struggling with discouragement, or is it just me? Am I just talking to myself right now? Okay. Okay. There's just like four of you. Okay. Well, the rest of you guys, pray for us that have really struggled overcoming discouragement. So, of course, I think we know what the definition is, but I want to throw it out because it means to deprive of courage, right? How many times in the Bible did God say, be of good cheer, take courage, take heart, right? I've overcome the world. But it's to deprive of courage, hope, or confidence, to dishearten, dispirit, to dissuade, to obstruct by opposition or difficulty, to hinder. Synonyms are daunt, depressed, deject, intimidate. And I feel like the enemy, I'm not trying to give him praise, but I'm telling you, he's not a stupid spirit, right? He's a very intelligent being who is working overtime. And I feel like maybe the demons have some unity going on to really wear out and weary the world, but the saints. I mean, what a disgusting thing COVID-19 has been too, right? To just weary the world and try and steal and kill and destroy from it. And so, but I believe that Jesus has the antidote. I mean, we know that, but it has to first start within each heart and soul. I cannot allow myself to get into such a pit of despair because that is not my God, and that's not going to help the kingdom at all. And so we're required to keep our love on, to keep our joy on, to keep our peace on. So if we would, let's go to Psalm 42. We're going to talk about one of my favorite psalmists. And this is a very famous psalm. People have quoted parts of it forever. I want to read the whole thing. If you don't mind to stand with me, just to honor God if you can. In the reading of the word today, we're gonna break apart a few things out of Psalm 42. David is real and raw, and that's what I love about this man. He's at one point called the man after God's own heart. Yet then in another passage, he has literally broken all 10 commandments in one day. But yet, you get to watch the restoration of his life and of his kingship, of his ministry even, because he was one of the only ones that we've seen in scripture that did the priestly role and was able to just march right into the temple and do the sacraments like a priest would without being zapped dead. He had such a unique relationship with God. But what's so special about him is he struggled like all of us. And that's the beautiful thing about God's word, is that there's no super saints. There's just God's kids, you know? Amen. All right, Psalm 42 says, as the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for you, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they continually say to me, where is your God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me. For I used to go with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept a pilgrim feast. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore I will remember you from the land of the Jordan and from the heights of Hermon, from the hill Mizar. Deep calls unto deep at the noise of your waterfalls. All your waves and billows have gone over me. The Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I will say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of my enemy? As with the breaking of my bones, my enemies reproach me while they say to me all day long, where is your God? But why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. And Lord, we thank you for just adding blessing to your word and to the service and just helping me to communicate your heart and encourage one another in you, Lord, that our hope is in you, the God of hope. And we just bless you today, Lord, and thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So this, here he is, he's crying out, hot tears. I'm dry, I'm thirsty, God, my soul's panting for you. Where is my God, the tormentors are saying. They're accusing me, they're tormenting. Where's God, if he's so good, where's God, right? But he says, why are you cast down, O my soul? Put your hope in God. Well, I want to talk about a few things that he says in here that I feel like can help with the downcasting of our souls, or causing, not help, but can cause some of that downcast of our souls. One of the things that he said in, which was it? Verse 4, if you want to pick at that one again, verse 4. For I used to go with the multitude, I went with them to the house of God. Do you hear the past tense? I used to. I went with. I used to go to church. Think about what COVID did. Talk about this strategic attack of the enemy that we're supposed to be assembling even more so as we see the day approaches. What does he do? He gets it to where we cannot gather. The governments are trying to force shutdowns, and I get the virus is real. I almost had my brother-in-law die from it, and we've had multiple people within our ministry families that have passed on. It is a very demonic, I get it, but I'm talking about the demonic. Not being able to gather, having to socially distance, not being able to touch one another for fear of germs. God, the discouragement that's hit the body of Christ in a massive blow. We're not gathering. And it's so easy then to fall out of the gathering, even when we can come back. I love what Pastor Levi said after he got out of his quarantine last Sunday. There's nothing like this place. How much more I've appreciated the house of God when I had months of having to record to an empty place and then watch myself online with Dan and the girls. Like, there just was not the same, not fun at all. But it is so important to be together. Two or more gathered, it says. In his name, he is there. Is so important. Where two or more agree on touching anything in his name, he says, according to his will. Of course, not selfish to us, but I will do it. The preciousness of gathering together. I mean, my heart has hurt so much for those in nursing homes who've not been able to have loved ones come visit and family and friends. The loneliness that they must feel. And I forget to pray for him because I got a lot going on. Just saying. I got a lot of stuff going on in my world. And it's like, I've forgotten a lot of being able to bring hope. I want to look at Romans 15, 13 real quick as well. Romans 15, 13. Where did you go? Sorry. There you are. All right. It says, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Well, what's one of the things that David's trying to do in this? This guy is saying, come on now, hope in God. Hope that makes not ashamed. Put your hope in God. He is the God of hope. He's the God of hope. He wants you to be filled with all joy and peace in believing in his goodness like we talked about, so that we will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Ghost. This is supernatural stuff. This is not stuff that we're going to get from multivitamins and, you know, just self-help kind of stuff. This is supernatural. The hope, the energy, the strength, the power comes from being plugged into the God of hope. and coming here and getting your hope tank filled again, hearing testimonies. One of the things, what I do, many of you know, I still go over to Hickory, which is a drug and alcohol rehabilitation place in Linton. The girls are only there 28 days. It's a constant influx of in and out, revolving door of girls. And when I walk in, this is what I feel like the Lord has told me I am. I'm a hope dealer. They've been dealing drugs a long time, but now you're going to get the God of hope has walked into the room. Why? Because God has delivered me of so many things. My husband used to move meth for outlaw motorcycle clubs and deal drugs. I can say those testimonies and say, if God did it for us, he'll do it for you. There's too many people in my church family that have overcome so many sins and addictions and diseases and issues of life that if it's not just possible, it's more than possible if you believe. You know, and I come in under the guise of just inspirational music. I'm a, what's it called? What's it called? Yeah, music therapist. Okay, there you go. That's a big, nice title. I'm a music therapist. But the beauty of the music, though, too, is you look in Scripture and you see how King Saul was so tormented with demons. Demons are tormenting people like crazy right now. But when David, with the anointing of the Holy Ghost, came in and played and worshiped his God, demons could not stand, and there was moments of clarity that Saul had. Well, that's what I'm believing for, if you would agree with me too. Clarity comes in those moments where they can hear God for themselves because they've allowed demons to traffic in their heart and mind so loudly that they don't know that God is able to be heard today, right now. Peace right now, joy right now, hope right now. And so it's such an honor to be able to get to do that and bring hope into the room. Bill Johnson said, if any area of your life has no hope, it's under the influence of a lie. Right? So I'll say that again. Bill Johnson, Pastor Bill Johnson of Reading, said, if there's any area of your life that has no hope today, you're under the influence of a lie. What is the Satan and demons called? He's the father of lies. He's the liar. Lies, lies, lies. Flip the script as Pastor Jonathan's taught before. What is that lie? Well, the truth is right on the other side of it. There is hope. There is restoration. There is healing. There is nothing impossible for our God and those who believe in him and put their trust and hope in them, who lift their eyes to the hills, where my help comes from. This life is hard, and I do not know how people are doing it without him. I just don't. I don't know why our churches aren't full, because this is like worse than 9/11 going on in our country again, because it's everything is trying to destroy the foundations of God, of our country, of the world. It's if I watch too much TV, which unfortunately my husband does, and he, because he wants to, you know, be in the know of all of it, drives me crazy, starts to bring that discouragement and disappointment and fear that, will this ever be good again? You know, have you guys been feeling that with me a little bit? It's intense. And some of us just say, I don't watch any of it because I can't handle it. And that's probably wisdom, because it can be a thief of peace and joy watching these things, hearing these things constantly. All the more reason why we got to gather together, hear the testimonies. We got to gather together and give our testimonies. I listen to some of these girls at Hickory. I tell Dan, it keeps me humble because God has blessed me so much. I'm obligated to give my testimony. I'm obligated to go because of his goodness. Where they've told me that they've been beaten and locked in the trunk, or the toolbox of their boyfriend's truck for a day. The scars all over their bodies, the holes and trails up their arms, the molestations they've had as children. I mean, it's I walk out every Monday praising God for letting me be a voice of hope, you know, because somebody did it for me. And I always tell them, guys, find a good church, because that's part of their strength. There's strength in numbers. There's strength in the multitude. The devil wants to get you isolated and alone. My family used to raise cows, and we had a pretty good protected area, but coyotes are everywhere, right? And one of the things they'd love to do is get one of those newborns pulled off to the side, and then they'd take them out. And it's in nature. It's the tactic of the adversary, the terrorist, the enemy. Isolate the people. Get in their heads. Torment them. So Bill Johnson said, the one with the most hope has the most influence. You guys look like a bunch of influential sons and daughters of God today. But a lot of times we forget what we have around us even. I mean, not everybody's called to go to this place or that. But even within my own home, I have so much influence of the two little ones in my care. And a lot of times I've gotten grouchy because of allowing life to make my heart heavy. And then I don't give that hope and that joy to the very little ones that I'm influencing around me. So be full of hope today by the power of the Holy Ghost. So Pastor Levi almost preached a little bit of, well, he did preach a little bit of what I'm talking about too. The next part in verse 6 that David says is, he says, "Oh my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore, I will remember you." Get it? Amen. Thank you for saying that, because now it's not just me saying it. You get to hear it a couple times. Repetition's good. Remember. Remember him from the pit that he dug you from. Remember the good things that he's done. As I remember, you know, it is good to remember. I'm not looking back to the past, although I'm trying to keep my hand to the plow, but I can remember the miracles I've seen in this house. Oh my goodness, the fun times that we've had in his presence. The one Wednesday night where I was, again, just having a really rough day, and all of a sudden Madeline, who was up here leading, just starts to giggle. And she can't hardly control her giggles. And so I came up here, I said, "Madeline, lay hands on me, I need that," you know? Because laughter does good like medicine. We need to laugh more. I know I do. She came down like a banshee. I mean, it was like, with all her hair was big too, like mine, and she just came down and literally plowed me. And she's like praying in tongues over me. Like, it was like something switched in her, and the warrior God inside of her said, "No more heaviness and discouragement and depression, Melanie, because come on, he comes on you like that. He wants to put a garment of heaviness on you. The breaking out is the garment of praise, but sometimes we need the help of brothers and sisters." And she just came at me, and then it was scary, and then I was laughing because I was scared of her, and then all of a sudden it turned into true, genuine joy of the Lord, laughter, and then she starts going out crazy, laying hands on everybody, and everybody starts laughing. And this was one of Amelia's favorite encounters with Jesus, because she didn't know what to think, got hands laid on her, and she starts busting laughing, and then she starts crying because the power of God was real. And then she starts back to laughing. And our kids had a touch that night. And I'm remembering those times of joy. He's still the same God. He still wants to do that today. And I can't forget his goodness, what he's done. Remember. Here, if you're taking notes, there's three things to remember in helping us here. Remember his goodness to you in the past. Remember his closeness to you in the present. And remember his power that's for you in the future. Remember, the same God who doesn't change, the same God who did it for one who's no respecter of persons, wants to do it for us and with us. One of the things in remembering in my life, those seasons where I didn't have answered prayer and thought like him, "Where is my God? Why are you not coming through for me? Why has it been 8 years and I don't have children? Why is this so hard?" And all those questions and the torment are coming in to traffic and lie and beat down and discourage. And begin to say, "I'm going to put my hope in God. I know that I know I'm called to be a mama." And then we get the miracle of Amelia. And then later, years later, the miracle of Nevaeh, my God who hears the cries of his people. I will remember those things. Remember miracles that we've seen in just people's bodies, the healings. He's still the same God. One of the first years this church was planted, Dan said there was a man, and I know he said this story, but I want to release and declare the miracle of God to still heal. There's a little baby that got diagnosed with leukemia, but there's also a man that was in that church service who had bone cancer, and he said, "I'll stand in the gap for that little baby." And God was so precious to not only hear the prayer and heal the baby, we get the report later, but that man had absolutely no sign of cancer in his body. The God who did both, you know? Why not here? Why not now? Why not? He's good. He's our healer. All the miracles that we've seen, he is too good to not believe. He's too good to not believe. Times I've almost had wrecks, he's there and pulled me out of it when I called on his name. Too good to not believe. So, Remember all the miracles of the past. Remember his goodness. In the remembering his closeness in the present, worship will immediately bring you back into the hope of God. There's so many times, I feel like we've lost the art of using our mouth. The old Pentecostal family that I was able to be mentored and groomed in my first few years, they were a shouting, declaring people. They're like, open your mouth and say it. Well, Dan tried to do that with prayer on Wednesday. Declare who God is to you. Let's focus on shout it out who he is. Because too often we just think in our head. We say our little prayers and our little head, and then all of a sudden we forget again that he's good. There have been so many times when the enemy has come in on me so hard and so hot, so heavy, so oppressive, that I've had to open my mouth and say, in Jesus' name, get off of me. I am a daughter of God. I am the Most High is my Father. And begin to declare who he is to me out loud and tell the demons to go. Enough within our head, oh, help me, Jesus. I say that prayer daily, so I'm not against it. But there's got to be some of this where we then begin to take action with our own mouth. God is a speaking spirit. He created us to be speaking spirits. We've got to speak and release. The power of life and death is in the tongue. We know these scriptures, but why is it that we forget? We forget to worship in that moment. God, you are good. You are good. You are good. I thank you. Your plans for my life are good. They're not evil, to prosper, to not harm. That's who you said you are, and I am in you. I thank you that you've got a destiny and a purpose. I thank you. I haven't seen nothing yet, that there's goodness of God. I'll see it in the land of the living again. All of these promises, which then leads us back into that third part, remembering his power for you in the future, the here, but the now too. I got to know the word of God. I've got to. What do I have to war with if I don't know his word only? I mean, yes, I'm thankful for the Holy Ghost and the power, but when it comes in agreement with the living word of God, there becomes breakthrough in my life. Power, love, and a sound mind is what he declared over his people. But so many of us don't have sound minds, going crazy, getting on anxiety meds because we have let the world just dictate and toss us to and fro. And I confess, I've gotten, when you start to get really weary and discouraged, it's easy to fall out of the word too, isn't it? It's easy to not pray out loud. I'm tired. I just feel tired. And then I say it all the time, which I'm speaking over myself. I'm tired. Now, I know if you've got little babies, you live in a perpetual life of tiredness. I get that. But I'm talking about the tiredness that's deep in your soul. The weariness that comes because I have fed my flesh, but I've not fed my spirit man. We're got to exercise the muscle. And I'm telling you all this because this is what God's saying to me. Melanie, come on. Even though your body's getting a little chunkier, your spirit man's a little thin, you know. Anyone with me on the COVID shutdown, I think it was like stress eating a little bit too. So, but my spirit man can get thin, can get a little emaciated because I've not been feeding on the scriptures, on his promises, stirring myself up in my most holy faith that says praying in the Holy Ghost. There has been seasons too where things were trying to just stick on you. I'm walking through Walmart praying in tongues. Oops, you know, it just kind of came out because the Holy Ghost was warring for me and with me. And so I want to encourage that it is time to feed and strengthen our inner man. It's time to stay in the house of God because there's strength in numbers. It's time to remember our God of hope who wants to fill us with all power. We need to remember his precious promises. And it's time to arrest the invader. So let's go to 2 Corinthians here real quick too. We have got to arrest the invader. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 to 5 says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. It is time that we arrest some of these thoughts. There is a trespasser and a terrorist that has come into my mind who's going to say, where is God? Where is your God? You know, it happened to David. We can see that it happened to Jesus. Jesus had the tempter right there. had this invader that came to test him with questions, getting him to question God and who he was in God, to bring discouragement to him. I mean, if Jesus had it, we're not exempt. I mean, this the devil is, you know, he's a equal opportunity terrorist, you know? Anyone created in the image of God, especially anybody doing the works of God, he wants to hinder you. He wants to weary you. Those thoughts that exalt themselves above the knowledge of God and his goodness and his plans and his will, we got to arrest those suckers and tell them to go. We got to remind ourselves those voices aren't all mine. There's an enemy who has come in to steal and kill and destroy, and he does it when I agree. When I agree with the enemy, when I agree with his voice, we walk in the flesh. We walk through hard times. But the weapons are not carnal. We don't, as it says, just beat in the air as one who has no target. I mean, we know that the issues with the people around me, they're not the people. They're influenced. A spirit of hate has come over so many people. You walk through without a mask in some places, and they've got their finger up in your face. You know, what happened to the love? Come on now. Everybody preaching, oh, we just need to love one another. Well, you're full of love right now, full of something. Everybody's aggressive and mean. The vaccines and stuff. Well, you didn't get your vaccine. You're not helping society. To each their own. Let's just come on. Let's be nice, right? Arrest the thoughts and realize somebody coming at me because I do my life different. It's not them. It's the enemy. They're really trying to, and they're trying to get me worked up. How many are getting worked up on Facebook? Right? Woo! Let's not even go there, right? But it's just too easy to pick fights because everybody's grouchy and discouraged and negative. And what happened to the God of hope living inside the Christians? What happened to being peacemakers and walking around with the holy water of God flowing out, putting out fires instead of walking around with a gas can ready to blow something up because you're in a bad mood? You know, talking to myself too, okay? Talking to myself. But arrest those thoughts quickly before they start to spread into your mind and your life. All right. I'll end with Romans 15:13 again. And I know, guys, this is a simple message, simple call to reminder. God is looking for, he's got help wanted signs out. Help wanted. Encouragers. He needs us to be filled with hope and his peace and his joy and his power. You're going to shine even brighter in these last days. And I don't want to miss the revival of God that he's going to do because I hadn't stored up the treasure, the word of God in my heart and my mind, that I wasn't ready for the revival that he wanted to pour out because I let my flesh get thick and my spirit get thin. Right? So at the last part of Romans 15:13, we'll read that again. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. In what? In believing. So that you will what? Abound. Meaning more than enough of hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Verse 14 says, now I am confident concerning you, my brethren, that you also are full of goodness. Right? You're nice. You're good. Like your daddy, filled with all knowledge, able to admonish one another, which is another word for saying encourage one another. He's calling us to be hope dealers. He's calling us to break off the spirit of weariness and heaviness and put on that garment of praise. And I tell you, it takes putting down your flesh. He does not make anybody do anything. That's what I tell the girls at Hickory too. He's a gentleman. He gives you choice and free will. He's asking you, will you take my hand? The thief is the one that wants to come in and kick in the door and control you and steal and kill and destroy from you. But God wants you to be confident that he's for you, that he's good. He wants you then to be so filled with that goodness it spills out wherever you go, and that you then are one of his greatest encouragers. You're like Barnabas, the son of encouragement is what he was called. Jesus, the ultimate enthusiast and encourager, explaining God is so good. Our Father who art in heaven is so holy, and he's going to deliver you from evil. He's going to provide for your daily needs. If a sparrow falls, he sees it, and you are worth more than that. He knows every hair on your head. Jesus coming to give the ultimate example of the goodness of the Father and the one that we serve. And he's saying to us, now I gotta go. Y'all are it. You all are the encouragers. You all are the people of power for the hour. Amelia said to me the other day, as kids were struggling with stuff at her school, and she said, why did I have to be in this generation? She, like, wants to be in the 50s or something. You know, she, bless her heart, old soul. Loves, loves, loves Dolly Parton. Don't know where that came from either. But she loves the simplicity and the purity of times gone by where people weren't gender confused as much. And people weren't pushing that down your throat. Or if you like the rainbow color, you're not automatically saying you're pro, you know, homosexuality. And those things that have so broke her heart. And the little girl that got raped at age 7 that's in one of their classes. And just, she's like, why do I have to know all these things? And I said, because you were born for such a time as this, sister. You were not a mistake in the era that he put you in the place he put you in, and the family that he put you in. You are not broken. So now you can help bring them to the healer. I know that's heavy for you at 12. I know it's heavy. But God entrusts you with his spirit and with his gospel, his good news. You know how to help. You know what healthy looks like. You know what goodness looks like. You know what love, healthy, real, true love looks like. You can help. Be a messenger. God didn't make a mistake to these young people. But it's so important. I tell her all the time, you got to guard your heart, girls. Guard it, guard it, guard it. Above all things, it says to guard, for out of it flow the issues of life. Got issues. Got to check what we're thinking on, and did it get into my heart? And so I want to spend a little bit of time with some prayer, just some prayer time, some body time, because I do believe in the power of the multitude. I believe where two or more are gathered in his name, that he's with us. So I'm going to kind of do a generic closing out all together, but I'm going to have Pastor Levi, if he would, come up here. And if there was anyone else he had talked to, that we just want to lay hands on anyone who's really been discouraged. We want to pray a blessing over you. We want to believe that maybe the Lord even has something prophetic to say. What is prophecy? Edification, exhortation, comfort. I believe that if there's real direction that is from God himself to you, I really do. I feel like for the most of the time, people are like, what do I do? Well, God wants you to press into his heart and him tell you personally. So that you know that you know that you know you heard it from God and not from a man. That's what I think. That's my 10 cents on some of the on the prophetic. But to edify, to bless you, to help you. If you've been discouraged, to get just kind of like Madeline had that supercharged dose of the Holy Ghost to just light you up, right? I don't know what he wants to do, but I know he's for you. I know he told me to say he wants you encouraged today. He doesn't want us downcast and down in the mouth and spewing negativity because we're so full of negative, but spewing hope instead. One of the things I do have for you, it's up here. Just put a little tool in your hand as well. It's 15 Bible verses on disappointment, discouragement, and frustration that will give you a life-changing attitude reset if you apply it to your life. Like the first one, Psalm 27, 13, 14 says, I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. Declare these scriptures over your life. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. But how much more faith do you get when it's your own voice you're hearing, saying and declaring it over your life and over your family? I will see the goodness of God in this land. I will see the goodness of God in my family. I will wait on the Lord because he's making me strong as I wait on his presence. So if you don't mind, let's stand and we'll close out. And those who want to come up and get prayer, hands laid on, we'll do that. And the rest are just free to enjoy their day. I got you out extra early, so I'm sure that you appreciate that, to enjoy your beautiful fall day. But Father, we thank you. We thank you, thank you, thank you. Lord, first is to worship and remember how good you are, God. God that never fails. God who doesn't stop loving. God who doesn't stop working on our behalf. The God who doesn't stop interceding on our behalf. The God who says, I have more for you than against you. I just need you to cooperate. I need you to cooperate with my spirit. Don't grieve my spirit. Don't get hard-hearted towards me or the word. Don't get lazy. Don't get weary in well-doing. And if you are weary, rally the troops. I feel I'm saying, just come on, grab some people. Tell them you need prayer. Grab hands with somebody to say, I need agreement with this. And check on your strong friends. because they need encouragement too. I don't know anyone who is exempt from not needing encouraged in this day, in this hour. But those who have the most hope will have the most influence. And so, Lord, I just release and declare that this is a family of sons and daughters that are full of hope. And you said hope does not make ashamed, that we can shake off a garment of disappointment and heaviness and put on the garment of praise. Just because you didn't answer a prayer the way I liked it doesn't mean you're not good. There will be clarity in the answer at some point as if we keep our eyes fixed on you, the author and the finisher of our faith. Those prayers that we didn't like the outcome of, the answer that came out, does not change that you are good and you will work something good in our lives and situations if we would yet believe. Not back up. You said you have no pleasure in those who back up, who regress. But you are pleased when we press in. You said as we draw near to you, you're drawing near to us. And that any moment and any time we can invoke the Prince of Peace, opening our mouth and taking a moment and a minute to say, Jesus, you're the Prince of Peace. You sit on the throne of my heart. I thank you for peace right now. And I thank you, I get to feel your peace. Ah, he wants us to feel his arms around us. And we can invoke that at any time. Lord, I pray our kids have encounters with you where they invoke your presence, that they're not ashamed to speak the name, that they want to know your word, your ways, your heart, and to talk to you, Lord. And as adults, I pray you help us to set that better example in our home. Instead of cursing, we would do blessing. Instead of cussing, we would worship. Lord, we love you, but not as much as you love us. So we just thank you for helping us to love you back with the love you first loved us with. That your perfect love casts out all fear and all phobia. And I declare that over your family today. Your perfect love is casting out today all fear, all phobia, and disbelief, and faith rise up in hope in Jesus' name.